This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 87. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with any questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money and the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Hey, you know what? You're going to have to add one more thing to my name. Oh, my intro.
You are the most overqualified person ever. You need to stop getting certifications.
Oh, no, it's not even that. I was just going to say you should just add, you know, that I'm handy around the house.
What do we do?
Well, we've been doing all these projects lately, I guess in preparation for our next investment property, but we redid our shed a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
Last weekend, we remodeled our outdoor kitchen area. We're just about done with that. Yeah. And then, we're closing on our next rental property next week, end of next week. And we'll have lots of projects to do with that in a 4-day period. We like to cram an entire month's worth of work into like 2-3 days.
that's just so amazing.
Yeah. So I am very handy at this point.
No, you're always impressing me. You guys are amazing. I mean, that's one thing we don't have in Maryland outside of kitchens.
Yeah. You know, what's funny too is like, we get these inspection reports, so we have a general idea of what we need to fix before we get there. And a couple of weeks out, I'm thinking, okay, I need measurements. I need to start ordering things. My husband's like, why? It's not for a few weeks. And then I show him, well, if we don't order a refrigerator now, it won't deliver until a month later, you know?
Because of coronavirus, I don't think a lot of people realize some of these appliances take a while to get.
Yeah.
Because of parts and deliveries from overseas, it's not normal. So
yeah, thankfully I looked at that early and ordered it a week ago. So we're on schedule for delivery unless something gets postponed. Something always goes wrong, so I wouldn't be surprised. But
no.
This one's a big project. It's gonna be our biggest project.
What state is it located in?
Georgia.
Oh, we're back in Georgia. That's awesome. Yeah. Are you trying to keep them all in the same region?
Yes, in the same area, so that I can have the same property manager manage.
Gotcha. I already know what area. That makes it a little bit easier.
Because I've already vetted the property manager.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then now I have a good idea of what type of vendors I use and all that.
Oh, man, you got it all figured out.
Yeah. The hardest thing is the first one, right? Like finding that trusted team.
Yeah.
See how it works. So I don't want to do that again in a different area.
No. Yeah. It always hurt. It's better to have them all in the same location anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah. But this time, my father-in-law is going to come in and help us as well. I'm using help loosely. I don't know if he's listening or my mother-in-law listens, but he's retired and may or may not need something to do.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. You mean he doesn't want to play video games on Facebook like I do?
Yeah. He just joined Facebook in the last year because the veterinarian's office was only going to give him a discount if he shared his location on Facebook.
Oh,
so that's
my
the
God.
Only reason. The that's only funny. Reason he joined Facebook.
There's a lot of companies that do that, by the way. So
he resisted it for years and years, thinking everyone's wasting their time on it. And then when he joined, of course, he's retired. Now that's all he does is Facebook with people. And it's just kind of
it's probably comical. Funny watching how he posts.
The about face. Yeah. There were some initial hiccups. You know, he didn't realize that you can't just accept every friend request from people you don't know who look very seductive in photos.
Yeah, and they do target older people and from overseas. I'm having that problem with my Facebook gaming account.
a lot of people faking their meat. They're using all my photos, the names, everything. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it. There's zero.
Well, and especially for friendly people who are very trusting, they're like, oh, sure, I'll be your friend. And he likes to talk to everyone. So that's not surprising. Yeah, that's anyway.
That's a good thing for our listeners is Facebook requests. You really got to be careful. Just don't, especially you if you're only single.
People you know right. in the real life.
If you get a friend request from American military people overseas, they are not American military. Those are scammers trying to get gift cards out of you. A Facebook page cannot send you a Facebook friend request. Pages cannot communicate with you. They cannot message you. They cannot friend request you. That's the problem I'm having with my gaming page. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that. Pages cannot communicate. So overseas, they're taking advantage of that little thing and confusing people. So
That's too bad. So anyway, everyone out there should pray for my husband, who will now have not only his wife telling him how to do a project, but also his father giving unsolicited advice.
Poor Matt.
Yes. It should be interesting.
We have six social media questions for you. Well, we're going to work on these together.
All right.
All right. So these are pretty basic, I think. First question is from Sandra. And she says, so my company's 401k option just moved from Wells Fargo to Fidelity. Investing is still not my strong suit. If I'm following Dave Ramsey's advice, it's 25% into growth and income, aggressive growth and international. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Which ones do I pick, or do I keep it blended? We've talked about this before, so let me just throw some basics in there, then you can add on. Usually with a 401k, you do not have those four items as your options. That's
right.
Number one, I find it hard to believe you'll find any 401k that has that. It's possible, but I have not seen it from all the 401k options people have sent me. So what the reason why we coach what we do, it pretty much takes care of that. And I personally do not like international at all. I have not seen a performance from that. So here's what I do. I look for the S&P 500 index. Start there. I only look in the, what do you say, the growth, equity growth section. I ignore all the bond stuff. I ignore all the international stuff. What else would there be? On the target dated funds. I ignore all that stuff.
Target date. Yes,
I go right for the
equity. I couldn't even think of it because it automatically, my brain already ignored it.
Yeah, I'm so.
Like they don't even exist.
I go right for the equity funds. They are usually all your stock funds. Okay, so I go right there. I ignore everything else.
Unless you're within, 5 to 10 years of retirement, then you can then start looking at.
Then as a basic thing, we say go to the target date fund because it automatically does the adjustments for you.
It'll balance your risk appropriately.
For the year you plan on retiring. But if you're further out than
that, then you don't need that. It's going to be too conservative for you.
So Sandra, this is what I do. And it kills. It's been killing for years. I've been doing this for a long time. I look for the S&P 500 index fund. Almost every 401k has one. Figure out which one it is. Then from
Fidelity
that point,
does for sure.
Oh, Fidelity definitely does. And I believe it's a zero cost one as well. So then you start with the Fidelity 500 fund.
Yeah, theirs is FXAIX.
AIX, I believe is what it is, right? FXAIX. So you start with that or similar. And then anything that will outperform that on a short, medium, and long-term basis. There may be one or two additional funds that do beat that. So then you choose, do I split between those or do I just, it's up to you. It really is. But anything that cannot do that, ignore it. So basically you're down to three funds out of your whole entire list and do that and set it and forget it. You literally can do that, Amanda.
Yeah.
You can.
Or you can just stick it all in one. That's fine too.
Like just if the index the fund and leave it alone.
Go for it.
That's right.
No. One last thing, though, if you are doing target date funds because you are nearing retirement, that is an either or option. Either you're in a target date fund and you're only in a target date fund, or you're not in a target date fund. You don't do a mix of target date and other things.
How many times have we seen that in our group, Facebook group, Rock on the Money?
People are like, I'm half in an index fund and half in the target date fund. Like, no.
You either do one or the other. The target date fund itself is designed to automatically adjust based on how close you are to retirement. You're not supposed to be mixing that with other funds. And I don't know who keeps telling people to do this.
Yeah.
So I do ask him, I said, look, I'm not being mean. I'm just curious, how did you come up with this idea? I was like, oh, that's fine. But this is how it works. So, and they don't know. People just don't know.
Yep. That's so fine. You're either 100% in a target date or 0%.
Right.
There's no in between. Yeah.
There you go. So hopefully, Sandra, that helps you out with your 401k. And if you want to send me your list of Fidelity, I will look at it and tell you what I would do. I'm not advising you. I'm just helping you narrow down the list. And then you pick your percentages. It's up to you.
We will help provide guidance on retirement funds all day long.
Right.
What we're not going to do is help you evaluate single stocks.
Right. And Amanda, just for the record, I cut out 3 questions.
Yes, I'm just reinforcing what we discussed last week.
Nope. I'm keeping Amanda happy, which in turn keeps Matt happy. Question number 2.
Or less miserable. Yes.
Daniel wants to know, is it easier to get out of debt or stay out of debt?
Ooh, I like this question.
I love this question. It's actually not as simple as... There's actually some conversation on that. So is it easier to get out of debt or stay out of debt? I think that's very individual.
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of person you are.
Or
like if you're very goal oriented, then sometimes it's easier to stick with a goal until you achieve that goal. But then once you get there, you're like, well, now what? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I've heard from like the radio shows or like me is because I also paid my kids' student loans off, even though I didn't have to. But I remember how hard it worked to get rid of it. So I think the harder that you work to get out of debt,
I think you
end up now being paranoid about doing anything. And then it then becomes hard to even spend money.
Yeah.
Because I have a difficult time spending money.
I think it's easier to stay out of debt for me personally.
I would go with that.
Yeah, but I can certainly see an argument for personalities who don't really know how to handle themselves once they reach a goal.
And I have heard the phone calls where people call like Ramsey or you know, Clark Howard, where they got out of it, but then all of a sudden they had so much money, they slipped right back in.
Right.
So,
because you want to reward yourself for a job well done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, I paid off all my credit cards and my student loans. I deserve a new car, right?
Yeah. Oh, like I say when I go to the auto show, how many signs are on these Mercedes? And it says, you deserve this.
Yeah, or I earned a boat.
Yeah. And that's one of the worst things you get. A swimming pool and a boat, right?
Yeah, I guess so. My pool is low maintenance.
You're in Florida, though. I'm talking about people in Maryland, in Virginia, in D.C. They have swimming pools you can use for a couple months a year.
Sure.
Because you have to close them, you have to open them, then you have they say just take your wallet and throw it in there.
Oh, yeah. That does sound harder. I just throw some chlorine in like once a week and call it a day.
Social media question 3. Kathy says, I'm looking to increase my income. What are some side hustle businesses you can start for under $5,000?
Well, she wants to actually start a full business.
Yeah. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, side hustle, when you're throwing $5,000 into it, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And so that concerns me because it sounds like she doesn't already have something she's passionate about.
Yeah.
So there are so many side hustles that you can start with $0.
Absolutely.
I don't know why you would need to put that type of money into it. I mean, depending on what it is, if you're starting, you really love to give, pets baths and you want to start a new pet bathing business, mobile pet bathing business, then sure, I can see you investing some money in business cards and you know, hopefully you're not buying a new van. You're just repurposing something you have, but there might be some small costs associated with it, but I certainly wouldn't go into debt $5,000 to have a side hustle that's not going to have a return on that investment for quite some time.
Right. My two concerns are, number one, she's initially said, I'm looking to increase my income. Why? Mm. What is that reason? Is it a bigger shovel to get out of debt?
Yeah.
Or we just want to build up our savings or open up another investment account, or I don't know what that purpose that I don't know what that is, but that
yeah.
that kind of concerns me a little bit. Number two, just like you said, you're looking for ideas, but what do you enjoy? Because I've seen so many times where people start a business or something, they go after the money.
Yeah.
And that doesn't usually work out.
Right.
And I would rather have, like, okay, I know you don't like this. I like video games. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a side hustle playing video games on Facebook. Okay. I love it. And it's amazing. I can make money doing that.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm doing it hardcore. I'm like Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm trying to build up the hours so Facebook gives me Facebook partner status, which is a whole different level, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't seem like work. I mean, it worked that I have to do all the emails. I have to do all this other stuff when I'm not streaming, but where I'm playing a game, having fun with people in the chat room, I made all these friends from around the world. It doesn't seem like work to me. So it's great. But if I felt like it was work, it would not be the same. I wouldn't put the same amount of hours in. And I'd probably like, I don't want to do it today. I'm tired.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of the same thing. If you don't want to make donuts, but I'm going to open up a bakery, well, you're going to lose the passion. It's just not going to have a good ending.
And $5,000 just seems so random. Like,
I know. Why
then,
five?
Then you're trying to fit something into your money rather than finding what you want to do and then determining how to do it cheaply or for free. We do have a Savvy Savings segment, segment number 8, posted on our website. That is 18 minutes of great side hustles you can start today to make extra money.
There you go. $5,000 is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Like people in a Facebook
group. I've never invested $5,000 on a side hustle.
Oh, no. No. What do you want to do? What do you enjoy? And what can you do with the least amount of money?
Right.
Least amount of risk, I guess is the way we should say it, right?
A great place to start is, what do you enjoy? What are your hobbies? And can you make money from those hobbies with some small tweaks, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you, Craig and I are not doing this for the money.
That's true. I mean, there's other things that we may do later on that will benefit from this, but this part podcasting does not make money.
No.
And very, very few podcasts make it beyond episode 2. That's a fact.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's thousands of new podcasts every day, and very few make it past the first few episodes.
So and here we are, episode 87.
I'm still shocked that you're still here, and you have no idea how grateful I am, because you're very good at this. You are very good at this, and people really do respect you, and they're always talking about you. So,
man, you are just sucking up like crazy today.
Is it
so
working?
We're 85 episodes past the norm.
Oh, yeah.
Had I known that, I wouldn't have put so much effort in, Craig.
But see, you're such a natural at it. I mean, in the beginning, we were both kind of awkward. You know, it worked, and it seems it really does work, and people do enjoy it. So, but I didn't know about that set. I heard it on Clark Howard. He talked about it.
Oh, really?
So, on one episode, yeah. I was like, really? I did not know that.
That's so crazy, because you see all the time people are looking for podcasts to listen to, right? So there's definitely an appetite out there, but I guess.
But a lot of people
they don't want to listen to garbage, right?
Right. Yeah. No, people look for good stuff. Like, people want to hear the murder mysteries. I mean, it depends on what they want to listen to.
Mm.
And podcasting is really not done well right now because people aren't commuting. They're not on commuter buses or subways. That's when people listen. So podcasting is kind of taking a little hit right now, but people are still creating the content because they know they'll come back. So there is kind of a dip going on for everybody. So,
and if not, I guess Craig and I just enjoy hearing ourselves talk to each other.
This is the one time I get to actually talk to Amanda. I get her from Matt. This is the one time I get to, he lets me talk to her.
Yeah. So, all right. He's like, oh, thank goodness, a break from all these chores she has for me. Oh,
she'll be gone for 30 minutes. Thank God. Thank God for Craig. Hey, let's take a quick break. And we got four more quick questions. No, three. I'm sorry. We got three questions coming up. Yep. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Rock of the Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Amanda and Craig, don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. And hey, I pointed out on our Facebook group the other day, we do have a list of our favorite books that most people could probably be out of. They're very basic books if you're...
Our favorite financial books.
Financial books. I'm sorry. But if you're looking for
everyone to think that that's all I read.
Nah. But if you're looking for gifts for the holidays and people that could use a little bit of basic financial literacy, I think, was there 10 books there that both of us had picked out? And
yes,
they're very good books,
and we are not selling them. We're just giving the recommendation,
right? Yes. They are not our books. We are linking you to Amazon to buy them. So
speaking of holidays and gifts, did you take advantage of Prime Day last
I was gonna ask you that. I bought, all right, you want to hear all the things I bought?
Yes. First, you want to hear all the things I bought?
I have a feeling that both of our lists are identical.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, you go first. Maybe not.
Okay, mine is I bought absolutely nothing.
Oh, it is a match. It's a perfect match.
I had a feeling that both of us did not buy a thing.
Huh. Fascinating.
Whoa! Did you think I was going to go in there and buy something? What did you think I was going to buy? Electronics or something, or
I don't know, kind of electronics.
I am going to be buying a TV at Best Buy this coming weekend.
Yeah,
I need a TV for my workout room. The one I have is too small, and that's why I watch like videos on YouTube about money or whatever. And I need a bigger TV. It's like $180 for a 40-inch TV. So,
Well, they had them cheaper on Prime Day.
Yeah, I know. I like TCL TVs. So there's a TCL.
You know what I saw, the big winners were things like sheets.
What? That makes no sense.
The Amazon Basics line of things, you know.
Wow. I know Amazon stuff is really cut down.
Yeah.
But no, I bought nothing. Zero.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, I was just curious because I know you always
I was going to ask you the same question. I forgot about it.
Hilarious.
Nope.
So there you go. That's the Savvy Savings segment of the day is if you want to make money, don't spend money.
And over the summer, we talked about Amazon Prime Day was being delayed, but we did a whole episode about it, had to take advantage of it. And at the end of the day, we bought zero, nothing.
I bought nothing. And, you know, they are saying that you should think about and make your purchases for the holidays early, and Prime Day was a good time for it. It's still 2 months away. It's hard to think, like, what does your niece or nephew want 2 months from now?
Yeah. And a lot of people are at home all the time. So it's like, you know, everybody's home. Yeah. It's like everyone kind of bought everything they needed. It's like, I don't know. I think I'm giving a lot of cash this year. I really am.
That's a great gift. But
I really think that's it's going to be boring. But and then some little things. But like I like giving out popcorn and stuff like that. What's that pop? Popopolis.
I love popcorn.
I give a lot of Popopolis around. I know it's that gourmet zebra. Yeah. You know, the zebra. Oh, it's so good, but so bad for you. That course.
Anyway, so they are saying, though, because of shipping delays, if you are planning to make purchases this year, waiting until Cyber Monday may be too late.
Hmm. Interesting.
But yes, very good savvy savings tip, Craig. Don't spend money unless you already had a plan to make a purchase. Like I know people who were going on there looking to see what the deals are and then deciding if they needed to buy something or not.
I will admit that was me years ago on Amazon. Yeah. I once again, like we said earlier, I have a hard time spending money now. Yeah. I really do. It's completely different than what I used to be.
I do, except when it comes to like home improvement projects, it seems lately like that seems to
be spent
very quickly lately.
What about purses?
No, I haven't spent money on a purse in a long time.
Wow. Right.
Like over a year.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Question number four. This group. Our group has shown me the benefit of Roth over traditional.
Yay!
But my question is this, do I mess with converting what I already have over to Roth or just make all future contributions to Roth?
Hmm. What do you think I'm going to say, Craig? It depends.
Yeah, it does depend. I believe if you saw my answer in the Facebook group with that, it depends.
Yeah, I haven't been able to spend hardly any time on Facebook lately.
This is what I told them. Okay, I told them, I said, well, you do all your future contributions.
Correct. That's a no-brainer.
For your existing money, you need to talk to a professional because that's where all the variables come in. How much is it going to cost? You have to be able to afford it. I mean, all kinds of other variables. And if you want to get detailed, but it's just like you said, you got to talk to what? Two people.
A tax advisor and a legal advisor. And, you know, certainly you can just go to your tax advisor on this one.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would mess with the legal unless you have a large estate and you're trying
to. That's what I told them, just the tax advisor to figure out what is it going to cost.
So that's exactly it. It's because you're going to need to pay the income tax on any gains when at the time of the conversion. You need to determine, is that something that you can afford in this next tax year? Or should you split it up over a couple of years or do it in chunks? All those things should be taken into consideration.
And please don't try and time this with the stock market or elections or anything. You either are going to do it or you don't. Don't get all hung up on people will start considering all these other crazy ideas. We don't have crystal balls. You either are converting it or you don't.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's a terrific plan to convert it because the more you can get your tax liability taken care of now before you're retired, the better off you'll be in retirement. That being said, if you can't afford it and you end up retired and you still got a traditional account, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just pull from the traditional account first before touching any of your Roth money.
Because tax rates only go up. They do not go down.
Yeah.
People find that hard to believe when we say that. Like, show me anywhere where tax rates went down. You got write-offs. You did not have the tax tables go down.
Right. So, again, it's you have to pay tax on it either now or in the future. Right. My preference is that you start prepaying that tax by doing the conversion, at least in affordable pieces.
It doesn't hurt you because you got to pay it eventually sometime. You either pay it at the tax rates now or you pay it whatever it is in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all it is.
And hopefully, if you start converting now, the tax rates are lower and your gains are smaller than they will be at the time of retirement. So you'll have less to convert and pay taxes on.
And the money that got converted and the money you make off it is now tax free.
It's tax free once you
convert it. You will be paying less tax no matter what if you do it now. But talk to your tax professional and how much you can do over time. They may do it over 5-10 years. I don't know. It depends how much we're talking about. Yep. It doesn't hurt you at all. Here we go. Question number 5. I have a couple $100 a month to invest in a midterm-ish goal. It's for a house down payment.
Oh, okay. I was hoping there'd be an explanation with that.
It's for a house down payment. I will not be ready for at least 3 years, but quite possibly 6, 7, 8 years. Given my undetermined time frame, I'm not sure where to park it. I was going to use it on an online savings account, but the rate's so low, it feels pointless.
It does feel pointless. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Well, so here's where I haven't looked at the rates lately, so I'm not sure if this would be any better. But since this is not your emergency fund, and again, it should not be your emergency fund. Mm-hmm. It's simply money that you are setting aside for a goal that you won't need access to, then I might consider something like a certificate of deposit, a CD or a bond, something that's going to have a higher return. In the past, the CD rates have been the same as the high yield online savings accounts. So there's not really been a benefit for committing or tying your money up for a committed period of time.
Right.
I'm not sure that the rates are the same anymore because the savings account rates are abysmal. Mm. You like that?
Yeah. Dismal.
Abysmal.
Dismal. And what I had told them, this is a question directly from our Facebook group, is that you don't want to do anything other than that. Like, don't put it in index funds. Don't put it in stocks. Yeah. Not ETFs. And the reason for that is it's the same as our retirement recommendations. Within 7 to 10 years, if you're shorter than that, there's not enough time to recover from any potential downturn in the markets.
Yeah.
That's why the coaching is always 7 to 10 years out. You need to back it off because you don't have time to recover. So
I might have a slightly higher risk tolerance than you, Craig. I feel like if it's 5 years out, generally, if you put it in an ETF, you're looking at generally an increase of 8% a year, give or take, right? 10%.
Right.
So you can take that amount of money. I don't know what the amount we're talking about is here, but let's just say it's a nice round number, like $30,000. If 5 years from now, you can either lose $3,000 or make an additional $3,000. And I'm just doing ballpark numbers. I don't even know what percentages work out. But, you know, a $3,000 swing one way or the other when you're talking about down payment like that isn't going to make it so you can or cannot buy the house.
Well, no, I totally agree. I am very aggressive, actually. But as a general rule, the reason why I'm a little leery about that with her is, or him or her, I don't know. I don't have a name on that. It says I will not be ready for at least 3 years. And then up to 6. So because it could be 3 years, I'm like, that's really short. Because you could be down for 3 years, but 5, I'm with you on that. I'm worried about the 3. If they're going to get this house in 3, ooh.
So again, nothing's going to make or break your ability. So if you want to be conservative and make sure you're not losing any money, so forget about making money, but just not losing any money, then I would still stick with the high yield savings account and just know that it's in a protected place and you could access it at any time without any penalty.
I think they already knew that. They just feel it's pointless. And you know what? It kind of is. But it's protected.
I mean, I'm looking online now. The CD rates are no better than the high yield
things
savings.
Things are just really wacky right now. And it's just bad timing. It is what it is. So, like you said, though, no one gets rich off of interest on their savings anyway.
Yeah, no one's getting rich.
Even if it was higher, you don't make a lot of money. So.
Yeah. The point is, you just want it in a bank that's insured so that you don't lose your money and you're just building the foundation for you to be able to make the next purchase.
Last question, Amanda.
Okay, I'm ready.
Noob, who needs help, please. I'm about to come into some money and it will be in a Vanguard account. I want to try investing in a small portion, 1 to 5,000, in something a little aggressive that can add to the savings. Will be used for college funds for my children. Where do I start? What's a good book or article that I can read so I can understand the lingo and what everything means?
Okay, so I would suggest that this money just go into a 529 for your kids. I don't think you need to keep it separate. There certainly are aggressive funds within 529s that you could elect to use and allocate that money towards, at least a portion of whatever the full amount is.
Yeah. And don't forget, we have a list of books, which I talked about coming out of the break. If you go to rockonthemoney.com, there's a link in the menu for books. If you want to learn about lingo and all what all this stuff means, if you're trying to learn about basic investing, any of those books on that list, I mean, they're very apparent, will help you out. Do you have your favorite one? I don't know. You had Susie Orman on there, some other people.
Yeah. So the other one I would throw out there that I'm not sure is on our list because it's not something that is normally within our list of things we talk about. Mm-hmm. But on the Dave Ramsey site, there's a book called Debt Free Degree.
Oh, yeah.
Which that one is because you're talking about funding your students' college. I would definitely add that to the reading list as well. But
that's a good suggestion, actually, because if they're going to use this money for college, they can do that. And then on top of it, one of the big things in that book, because I've read it, is learning how to go find all the ways and make applying for college, what, grants and stuff, like a full-time job.
Yeah.
Like literally applying for hundreds and hundreds of these things, every single one you have. And that's part of it. Also saving up the money, investing properly in 529s or whatever. And that's a great suggestion, Amanda. I like that.
Yeah. So I know that it's not perfectly on topic with the question of learning the lingo, but I would still add it to your reading list for that purpose.
And it would build you up and be prepared to do a debt-free degree if your kids want to go to college.
Yeah.
Because not otherwise, all the time kids have to go to college.
We do have suggestions for investing. There's a little book of common sense investing that we've linked on our website.
Yeah.
That's a great one to start with. Oh, we do have the debt-free degree linked on our website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good tips there.
Yeah, just go right to rockonthemoney.com and click on books and you'll see the list of books right there and just click on there and order it. You get the audiobook or printed version.
Shows you how recently I've actually looked at our list of book recommendations. But
and then I just recently highlighted it on our Facebook page because Christmas is coming up. People want to buy those. And
yeah. But I'm glad we did include it because it is slightly different than the rest of the books that are on the list. We did try and pick books from different areas of financial knowledge so that there would be a robust knowledge base for everyone.
And here's the thing.
It's not all the same.
Yeah. And the thing about the debt-free degree is the most common debt I see is student loans.
Yeah.
You do not need to get student loans or even go to college if you don't need to. I mean, you have to really think this out. People automatically think you should need to go to college or send your kids because you were a Terrapin. So my kid has to go to Maryland. That's not a good reason to go to Maryland.
What's a Terrapin?
It's the mascot. It's a turtle. It's not as well, you went to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Badger. That's everyone knows that.
Okay, it's a little bit cooler than a turtle. So, a Terrapin is a turtle.
I see. I Googled it, and this is amazing because I watch a ton of animal shows, and I did not know what a Terrapin is.
Yeah, we have a lot of turtles here because of the bay, and we have a lot of marshlands and. Maryland is a lot of water. We have a lot of boats.
Species of turtle native to the brackish coastal tidal marshes of the eastern and southern United States and in Bermuda.
Oh, I know even Bermuda. That's awesome. Yep, the Terrapins.
That's it, folks. You learn about finances and turtles.
Yep, there you go. Yep, Maryland Terrapins. That's the mascot for the University of Maryland.
That does not sound very intimidating.
No, but the mascot looks awesome. He looks mean.
Okay. Okay.
Just go with it. Just stop. Badgers are cool. You win. Once again, Amanda wins.
I didn't go to Wisconsin, though.
Oh, okay. I thought your son is.
Well, he's at Parkside in Wisconsin, so they are the Parkside Rangers.
That's still better than a turtle.
It is. I was a golden gopher.
That's right.
I'm not sure that's better than a turtle.
That's right. You were a gopher. You told me. Oh, my God. That's right. We had that at one of the podcasts, the golden gophers.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll take a turtle. Okay.
Thank you, Amanda. All right.
That's a good episode. Thank you, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.